Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Andre Arshavin, it's Giroud. It's a second. It is an incredible start for Arsenal.
You know, the thing is, those kind of injury can be ending injuries, you know, like ending injuries, because it's like about the cartilage in your knee, you know. So I was well aware of what I had. Like everyone was a bit worried as well, to be honest, because when we spoke with the boss as well, he was a bit worried, you know, like, okay, you know, a lot of people have that. And for example, you remember Ledley King having those kind of issues.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of In Lockdown, in partnership with Camden Town Brewery. I'm Josh James. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast from all the usual places, and please leave a rating and review if you can as well. Today we are joined by Johan Giroud. Defender Johan joined Arsenal as a 16-year-old back in 2003 and spent 10 years at the club, making nearly 150 appearances. So first of all, Johan, it's great to speak to you again. Where are you speaking to us from today?
Hi, Josh. Nice to speak to you too. It's a pleasure to speak to you guys, and I'm in Geneva, in my hometown.
And how are you coping with this lockdown that the whole world has been put under at the moment?
You know what? Pretty smoothly. I think that, it's a time to be with the family, even though, like, you know, I cannot see my mom and stuff like this, my dad. But to be the close one and to do different things, you know, there's so many things that we've been doing that we haven't done for so many years.
Okay, good. You're making the most of it. Right. So over the next, half hour or so, we want to take you back through your Arsenal career, look back on the journey that you had. And it started in 2003, as I said, when you arrived at Arsenal as a young teenager. Tell us how that move came about. Can you remember the first contact you had with the club?
Yeah, of course. I remember it was crazy. I was playing a game in Geneva, so in my old club, Carouge, and we were playing on a Wednesday night, I think. And the coach before the game came and said, like, in the dressing room, we have scout from Arsenal. So, but he didn't say for who they were coming. So everyone was like, wow, oh God, amazing. Like, who is going to be? But everyone knew deep down that it was for me. So that's the first time I was aware that there was an interest. And then he started from there. When I went to London then to meet the boss and to see the facility like a few months later. And and then that's like the beginning of the story.
So you're 16. It's a very big move to make as a teenager. Did you have any doubts at all, or were you just, no, I'm moving, I'm going to London?
The thing is, to be honest, I was already so focused and so passionate about football that I didn't think that I couldn't make it. It's a bit maybe cocky to say that, but the thing is, like, you know, when you have a dream, when the only thing I had in my head was football, and I couldn't think of anything else. And I think that was a chance because, as well, the boss at the time was given the chance to the youngster. So, you know, for me, it was like I couldn't say no to that.
And this was a great time to be at Arsenal because, obviously, it was the invincible season that first year where you played mainly youth and reserve football. But did you get to
go-to Highbury to watch the games? Who would you go with? Did you sit in the paddock area by the dugout?
Yeah, exactly. I was in the paddock, or sometimes as well behind in the north stand, I think, just up at the beginning. And of course, I had a chance to see all of that and to see the players. I mean, it was just a great time and a great learning curve for me, because as a young player who's coming from Switzerland, where the football is developing, coming to a club like Arsenal with a manager like Arsene Wenger, and as well the type of player that was in the team, was just great for a young Swiss guy who could speak French at first. So you had, for example, the Jeremy Aladier or the Colo Touré's that was very close to me. TT as well, like, you know, he helped me a lot when I was there. So, but it was great to see that those guys were very supportive.
So what about the pressure you must have felt as a young player? You said at the time that Arsene Wenger was given a lot of games and minutes to young players, as yourself and Philippe, and obviously Cesc Fabregas was just coming through as well then. But did you feel we have to be world-class to get in this team? Because there wasn't any weakness in that Arsenal team, was there?
No, the thing is, that's what I'm saying. And every time, sometimes, you know, people ask me, and they were like, but how did you deal with it? Because in training, you train with Bergkamp and Thierry. And I was like, sometimes you get... You see yourself watching them. That's like how good they were. I remember one day Dennis Bergkamp going like 2 meter high and controlling the ball down like he was nothing. And I was like, wow, that's impressive. So you get caught watching, but then at the same time, you're thinking, okay, so I need to get myself together, because if I want to be part of this or having a slim chance to make it, I have to make it hard for them, you know? And so that's what always, like, Thierry told me. He said, like, what I like about you when I was younger, he said to me, you're not scared. You come here, and if you have to tackle someone or push someone, you will do it, because that's the game, you know? So it was really about trying to get those nerves as calm as possible and just enjoying yourself, you know? And the thing I will always remember, and this is, that will stay with me forever, I think. It's like the first time when I have to play my first game, it's the FA Cup game. And I will come, I'm sure you will come back to that. But the boss came to me and said to me, Joe, that was my first start, because I played against Man City before that. But he said to me, play like you're playing in the park with your friends, you know? So, of course, when it comes to you and say that, you think it, but wait, we're playing in front of 30,000 people. It's not the same. But the way he came and said it, I felt very comfortable afterwards. It was just like, you know, that thing to calm the nerves and thinking, okay, block the outside and you in the park with your friends. And that was a great words that he gave me.
So did you have your family and friends in the stadium that day? What can you remember about that day?
No, they weren't there, because everyone was still working or in Geneva doing their things. But and I wasn't expecting to start, I think, as well, you know. It's not like of those things where you know. It's more like you know at the latest or until like at the end of the week. So I remember, yes, of course I remember, because those words, and then standing on the pitch at Highbury for FA Cup game, and it was just a great experience to be on the pitch for an official game with those kind of players. Was just like the beginning of the dream.
And what was your relationship like with Arsene throughout your time? So as you became more established in the team, as you got older, more experienced, did he talk to you more? What about on the coaching, on the training pitches? How did he coach you individually?
Yeah, I loved him because, first of all, to have the chance to of course, spend that time with him, and as well for him to build me, or to build all the players as he did. But first of all, to give us the chance, or to give me the chance to express myself, you know? And I think that what we are like with the boss is the way he was handling every case, maybe, like you would say it's similar, but it was so different. For example, he was always with me being positive and letting me know that, for example, that sometimes he would say, okay, the situation might not be fair because you're in a great shape and you're playing well, your time will come. You know, but you have to be patient because you're a bit younger, for example. And I remember that time where, for example, he took me before a meeting with the team and he said to me, I know you're ready, I see it. It's like, I cannot hide it anymore. You will play, not tomorrow, but you will play. You know, he said that to me. So all the time he was very positive and very encouraging about the stuff that that I was doing. For example, I remember one season, we started the season, and I think Kolo was a bit down, and we play against West Brom at home. And we won 1-0, I think, or 2-0. And then I played a great game, and the press was blowing it up a little bit and everything. And then the next day, the next game at Fulham, Kolo is back, you know? So he's telling me straight away, like, okay, I mean, it's not fair. But, sometimes football is like that, and you have to accept it. You're a young player. You have a player like Kolo Touré, who is a great player and a big brother to me, with William Gallas, you know, two guys. And we all know that at the end of the day, when you're learning, and especially, of course, you're impatient because you want to play. But there is one thing as well, when the coach has an idea of his defense, he has to go with it. You know, you don't like to change it. You would like to have your defense the most of the time together. So he told me that, and very honestly, but he told me again, you know, you deserve to play. But it's like that. So it was a very honest relationship, you know.
So you said, you mentioned Kolo there and William Gallas and Philippe Senderos, of course, and Sol Campbell was still playing at that time as well. There was a lot of good defenders at the time, but who did you especially like to play alongside? Who was your ideal partner in that defence?
I think, you know what, I think everyone was very different because I think you attach every emotion that goes with it. You know, I think that Philippe was always special because two guys from Geneva, so we knew that he knew that I had his back and he had mine. With Kolo being from the same country originally, was always a pleasure, and I looked up to him. I looked up at how he developed, because when I came first at Arsenal, what was crazy that Kolo was playing every position. At first, he was playing right wing, striker, and he was scoring goals. He was going across people from home, you know? And I was like, wow, that player is very good. And when he told me, one day we were in the car, and he told me, you know, my favorite position is a central defender. I was like, okay, yeah, right. You know, like, what? Like, you're doing all that on the pitch, and you're telling me you're a central defender. He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and then that's when he started to be like, I saw him against Inter one day, I think. And I was like, what? And he played against Martin, where the Martin was like the most efficient and quick. He was scoring goals for fun, and Kolo had a great game. I think we lost that game, but Kolo was amazing. You know, it was amazing. And William as well, I really liked him. He was very calm, and Sol as well. Sol was something that I really liked. He was very talkative. Very, very nice guy as well, outside of football.
And let's talk about Philippe then, because you've mentioned him a few times, two boys from Geneva, similar age, both playing in the Switzerland national team, both went to the World Cup, didn't you, in 2006. How much time did you spend with each other? Were you, do you see each other a lot off the pitch as well?
At first, yeah, we were always together, of course, because two guys from Switzerland, I didn't know where I was really in London. I don't think he knew either. So we were together at Norwich, then obviously going to training sometimes. He was already with the pros, so I was more with the youth team. But every time we had a chance, we were together out on and off the pitch, you know. But it was, to be honest, a very nice time because we were so proud of what we were doing, and that was just the beginning. So you're living a dream, but you have to be well awake because it can go so quickly. So now with Philippe, we were really like trying to push each other to do the best every day in training and to progress. I saw him one maybe a month ago.
And let's talk about then you really start to establish yourself in the team. You came back from the World Cup. You're getting more and more game time with Arsenal. playing in defence, sometimes at right back, mostly in centre defence. But then the tough time for you must have been that 2009-10 season, because you missed virtually the whole season with a knee injury. What was that like for you mentally at that time?
That was a learning curve, I think. That was something that, you know, I had, because I had a meniscus injury, I think a few years before that. And, but I came back pretty quickly. But I think that in 2 days' world, like with 2 days, the knowledge that I have, maybe I came back too quickly and I didn't have the right strength on my knee to be able to perform at the right level. Even though, as I said, I went to the World Cup and I was so like blown away by those kind of experience. Then coming back, and even like before that, that was the season where I should have started, you know, because that was the season where the boss trusted me and he said, before the season, that's your season. But unfortunately, my knee injury happened, and that was like, you know, something again where you could take the time to watch games, to take care of your body, and to go again. So it was tough because, as I said, I was so ready and so impatient about starting the season, because I think that I did everything. I did the preseason, and then I felt something on my knee, and I had to get an operation. So I was sad. Obviously, I was sad and I was a bit devastated at the beginning. But what I would say helped is that my first daughter, was born like a couple of months after the surgery, so I had that to help me build up again and come back.
But did you know that it was going to be that long out of the game? What did the doctors and physio say to you at the start of the season?
You know, the thing is, those kind of injury can be ending injuries, you know, like career-ending injuries, because it's like about the cartilage in your knee, you know. So I was well aware of what I had. Like everyone was a bit worried as well, to be honest, because when we spoke with the boss as well, he was a bit worried, you know, like, okay. You know, a lot of people have that. And for example, you remember Ledley King having those kind of issues and was always sometimes not training, sometimes playing and all those kind of things. But I think he had both knees. Mine was very straightforward, but still, you're still worried and you still wonder, would he be able to come back? And so was I worried? I don't think I was. I think I was just really like, let's say, sad about the situation and just wanted to come back as not as quick as possible, but as stronger as possible this time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, and that next season was a superb season for you. 2010-11 season. I think you went 31 league games unbeaten over a couple of years. Would you say that was your best season individually for you?
I think that was the one where I was the most comfortable. I think that was the one when you know, I came back from that season, and I think that's when they bought Schillaci. And at first I was a bit frustrated because I was thinking that should be my time, you know. I was like, okay, I missed last season, now I'm ready to go, it should be my time. So they bought Schillaci, and I totally understand it, because obviously, the boss had a plan in his head, and it was to build me up again. And he told me as well, he told me, you know what, I'm going to build you up, and when you're ready, you will play. So I would play a few games there and a few games there. And it took time as well to come back when you haven't played for 12 months. But as soon as I played, it was like, I felt like a new player, and I would say that, yeah, The partnership between me and Lauren, for example, and even with Schillaci was just great. And I'm sure the only regret I have is that we didn't manage to win something this season, because we were just. I think that was like being so close with Barcelona, then to lose the Birmingham, the Carling Cup final, and then even in the league we were like flirting with the first place for long, and then we collapsed near the end. Was just hard to take, but on the whole and personally, I think that was one of the most established seasons. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're right. It looked like that season Arsenal could have won 1, 2, or 3 trophies at one point. When they go into the League Cup final against Birmingham, everything is really set up nicely. Do you think that defeat, because it was such a shocking way for it to happen late on in a game we expected to win, do you think that really hurt the team for the rest of the season?
I would say that I want to say no, because we were all strong enough and mentally strong enough to cope with that. But I think that in football, sometimes, as you said, you're expecting to win, and maybe it was a shock to all of us because we knew that maybe we would have gone to the extra time. And, you know, at the end, to just like concede a goal like that kills you. So, yeah, I think that mentally, I mean, it was hard to have all those events piling up for us to go and try and win. But it's sad because we were well set up to do it.
Yeah, there were some crazy games in a sort of 2-month spell. I guess it started actually a couple of months earlier in that Newcastle 4-all game, which was we still talk about it today. That was your 100th appearance for Arsenal.
Yes.
You scored your first goal, your only goal for Arsenal after I think 5 or 6 minutes.
Exactly.
We went 2-0 up. We were 4-0 up after 26 minutes. And then you went off early in the second half.
Yeah.
And it all collapsed. It finished, obviously, 4-all. But when you went off, Arsenal were 4-0 up, and you must have thought, well, at least we've got the points today. Tell us about that game from your perspective.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was like, as you said, it was my 100th game. And before the game, like the boss said in the meeting, he said, Joe, I'm expecting a goal from you. It's time, you know? So it was like everything was set up for me to score and to have a great game. So we start the game and we start flying. Theo scored after 2 minutes, I think. And then I get this great ball from Arshavin and put the header in. And everything is smooth. And then I get a kick on my knee. I don't know how. I think I got the head of, I can't remember the name of the striker. Best, Lion Best, I think, on my knee. Best on my knee. And then I'm like, okay, I have pain, but I can still do it. And the boss says to me, okay, Joe, we are 4-0 up. If you have pain, we don't want to take risk, you know. So I keep playing until the second half, and then okay, I'm feeling okay. I think it's better if you know, because it was painful and I couldn't really take it anymore, and I was limping. So they took me off, and I'm thinking at this point, of course, but you know, we were set up to win and to go on in our progression, but then the send off happens. Even though, I mean, I think that's okay. Today you can still deal with to being 10 against 11 with a 4-goal cushion. But that shows you how crazy football is, because that creates a doubt, you know. And for example, I can't even remember that they were still like they were 4-1 later on or 4-2, still very late on in the game, and they scored like that, and that's why. That's why, but that game was just crazy because I remember being in the dressing room and then go to another room to watch the game and be like, what? I was just shocked at the end.
So did you feel when it did go to 4-2, 4-3, did you think this is just the way football goes? We're not going to get a win here. Sometimes you feel that sort of momentum is switched and there's not much you can do on the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know what? I didn't think so because I thought that 4 was too much. And even though, like I'm saying 4, but I thought that we could have been 6 or 7 at halftime. You know? And so I was thinking, okay, we're going to get one. You know, we're going to get one. And especially when you think about it, okay, they did a 4-4, but the goal that Tiote scored on that day, I think he can do it 100 times after he would never score it. Not saying that he's a really good player. He was a really good player as well. But it shows you that, you know, when you have the momentum switching, everything goes your way. And that day was exactly that. And as well, like the decision of the penalty on Koscielny, I'm not sure about. So there were so many factors. I'm not trying to find excuses, but all the things about this game were so strange at the end.
But it was only about a week later that we played Barcelona at home in a huge game in the Champions League. You're in the starting lineup alongside Laurent, up against Lionel Messi, David Villa, Xavi, all of the big names were there, Pedro. And Arsenal, of course, get a 2-1 win. Where does that rank in your list of highlights in your career?
Wow, that was a great moment. I think that, and especially because I remember, I think it was 2 years before when I was injured, or the year before when Barcelona came in, and they tore us apart like really, like it was like they were going through. It was like, you know, you caught up watching Barcelona beating your team, and you're thinking, wow, I mean, how they do it, you know? So now you're in the pitch and you're thinking, okay, it's the same team and you have to face them. But it's true that I have to say we were in a great momentum. And I think that we made it hard for them. They had a few chances, obviously. I mean, with the players they had. But that moment and that victory was a great experience and a great thing to be part of. Because that's like a dream, you know, when you're a kid, you want to play those kind of games. I would say that I was even more proud even though we lost, I think that the performance that I did over there was as well quite, I did like it. I thought that we had a few good interventions to prevent them from scoring. But it's just unfortunate how football turns out sometimes, because as I said, with that sending off, yeah, we were a bit more fragile.
But you must have been really high on confidence at that point, because there's no doubt Barcelona were the best team in the world at that stage. And as you said, you'd had two performances against them and against Messi, which were great performances from a defender. How confident were you feeling at this stage of your career?
I felt like I felt great. I mean, that was like the time where really everything was going so easy, because even though I missed the second half against Newcastle, then we played Wolves at home, I think, the next weekend, and I was back in the team. And everything was going so smoothly. Everything was, you know, and I remember Robin coming to me after the game, and Robin, like, you know, I had so much respect for Robin, because I thought that this guy was just so good on the ball, and just what he did was just amazing. And he came to me and he said to me, bro, I'm enjoying watching you play. I was like, oh, thank you, man. He was like, yeah. Everything is so easy for you at the moment. You know, it's like when you have like that kind of confidence on the run, like you do things that, of course, you know you can do, but it always take your time to get there. And like everything was going so smoothly. I was like so confident. I was good on the ball. I was like, I was defending, like, you know, everything was really, really like well done. So when he said that after the game, I felt very proud, and it gives you a bit more confidence, because one of the top guys comes to you and shows you his respect. So, yeah, I mean, I was feeling great.
Yeah, and then the next season, Per Mertesacker came in. You've got another defender that you need to compete for your place. But you played a lot of games again in the next 11-12 season. What are your memories, highlights from that season?
And then, yeah, the next season after was a bit different. Per comes in. I played a few games at right back. I was fighting, of course, to play. I played some great games as well, but yeah, it was different. Even though I think that the disappointment of the season before affected a bit everyone.
Yeah, we spoke to Laurent actually earlier in this series, and he said that team that won the Invincibles team that won everything after winning the FA Cup in 2005 didn't manage to win another trophy, and it's because it was the disappointment of losing the Champions League final, that they could never really recover from it. It seems strange, but that mentality in football is so important, isn't it? And if you don't have that, not motivation, but if you don't have that encouragement in your own mind to go on and win, how difficult does it become to try and turn that round?
That's a very good example. It's true, because, you know, I was part of that team that went to Paris and lose in the final, and when you're so close to win as well, you know. So the thing is that the that's what I think that sometimes people forget is that obviously we play in front of million people and obviously we get good salary for that. But it's true that emotionally, sometimes it's hard because you're so close to a prize that you work your whole life for, actually. You're trying and build a team to be competitive and win. And when you're so close but you don't actually get there, sometimes it takes a hit, you know, and you have to rebuild and start again and trying to forget that difficult or make that pain go away. But it might take a bit. And as you said, after that final, it took time to win. It took time for everyone to win. And for us, it was the same. I think that after all those disappointments, it was hard to gain that confidence and that mentality again, but we always qualify for the Champions League. So that was already positive. But it's true that to make that little extra, that I won't say that we didn't want to do it. We wanted to do it. We wanted to win everything. But it's just that sometimes that's how it goes.
So let's move on to the next season, because that was your last season at Arsenal. You played that 7-5 crazy game at Reading in the League Cup, which turned out to be your last game. Did you have any idea at that time that would be your last game for Arsenal?
No, maybe at that time, but I was feeling a bit, you know, I had a few discussions with the boss and I was feeling a bit not under the weather, but I was feeling that it was maybe time for me to move on, even though he clearly said to me, Joe, I still think that you have a chance to play, you should stay. But I was 26. I wanted to just have another experience, and surely I wanted to play. I wanted to keep on trying to be back at the level that I was the season before, you know. So that's why I knew in a way that in January something was going to happen. Yes. Yeah.
Did you have any regrets about leaving at that time? Was it, how difficult was the decision to get? I know you went out on loan at first, didn't you?
Exactly. I went out on loan, and it's always difficult when you leave your home, you know, because Arsenal for me is my home and London as well. So it was a bit, and you know, I had all my things that I do all the time and all my habits. I knew everyone, so I didn't know I didn't need to meet anyone, but I needed to challenge myself, you know, because I was a bit in a negative, not environment, but I was a bit in a negative because as well, I was playing right back and it wasn't, first of all, my position, but sometimes people tend to remember that. And I was not a right back. I did it first when I was younger at Arsenal a few games, but I wasn't a right back. So everything was turned out to be a bit negative, you know. So sometimes you just need to not to leave, but just to try and find a new purpose, you know. Because I love football and I wanted to play. We had the World Cup coming up as well, and that was something that I didn't want to miss. So there is some decision that you have to make. And so with the boss, we discussed, and he gave me the chance to go and play in Germany.
So even though it was a loan deal at first, you thought then it could be the end of your career at Arsenal?
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, after 10 years, it's like there is always, I would say, you know what, that's why I said that people don't understand is that Arsenal will always be my club because I started from there, you know. I started from football, yes, of course, in Switzerland, but that's where the people gave me a chance and that's where people started to love me and recognize me for who I was. And so, obviously, when you realize that it may be a time to leave that, but to leave that family, it's not about leaving, for example, the club itself. It's more about leaving all those guys, you know, the boss, my friends, the people that I knew around London, you know, all those kind of things, my the habits that I had, that was the difficult part, you know, to leave that family.
So what's the situation now with you? You're looking for another club? What?
You know what? Yes, I mean, at the moment, I mean, I have already some good contacts, meaning I maybe want to do a lax experience with the family, you know. I'm 33. I'm fit. I'm training like crazy, like never before. So I think that today there is not really an age. I think that as long as you're fit, you can play. and I love playing, you know, and I've missed a few years with injuries. So I'm trying to really, not catch up, but really make the most of it until the end. So, yeah, I want to play. I don't know where just yet because I haven't took a decision, but definitely I do want to play.
So what about after your playing days? Have you thought about a career in coaching or the media? I know you always did a lot of media for Arsenal. We always appreciated you doing your bits for Arsenal media.
Yes. No, you know what? I am such a guy that I love to experiment a lot of things, you know. So I would say that I think I will do something in football I would love. But today, in today's world, I think that I'm more with the, like, I don't know, I like what is social, you know. I like to share my story. I like to encourage people to have confidence in themselves. I like to give that that serenity to people, because I think that in today's world, everything is very difficult. But I think that when you go through life and you have a different experience and experiments, I think it's good to share them. And I think that people sometimes need a little boost or a little help in the mental health category that you could do. So I'm trying to think, because there is so many things I want to do. I just have to choose something that could go with my personality.
Well, you've got plenty of time. As you said, you're only 33, so exactly. Plenty of time to think about it. We're going to call it a day there, Johan. Thanks a lot for your time. That's been fantastic. We've been speaking for ages. We could speak forever about your days at Arsenal, but really appreciate that. And hopefully, you know, you do need to come back and see us at Emirates Stadium soon.
Definitely, yeah, we'll come back.
Cool. We look forward to that. So that's it for this edition of In Lockdown. We'll be back soon with another episode. And in the meantime, you can subscribe via iTunes or your usual podcast site. And we'd love to read your reviews as well. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.